Okay, well, Sunday night crew, you are it. I hope you know that God looks on you and just thinks, wow, how many people served this morning? I'm just curious. You served in children's ministry, the parking lot, the ushers. I mean, you've served somewhere this weekend. And even though you served, you came to church tonight. I know the couch was calling your name. I know it was saying, stay with me. I'm your lazy boy, couch recliner, stay here. I know the game was calling your name because I heard a man of God saying, oh, I wanted to stay home and I wanted to watch the game. And I said, excuse me, God has a word for you. And so God does have a word for him, and it's going to be really good. But you know what, Sunday night, you guys are the ones standing in the gap. You guys are the one, when God needs someone to say a word, you're going to have that word for somebody. When God needs a prayer answered, you're going to say that prayer, and you're going to go to the throne of God. You guys are it, and you have to believe that. Because we are on watch. Sunday nights, we're on watch, and we are praying for the city, for your families, for this entire planet. And if we don't pray, who's going to pray? So it's our job. And we stand before God and say, we'll take it. We'll take it, God, whatever you want us to do. And you know what's so cool is that today's a special day. I don't know if you know, but today's Sunday, June 7th. Do you guys know what today is? Maybe some of you, it's your birthday. Anybody's birthday? I know our light technician's birthday is today. But that's not what we're here to celebrate. You say, well, is it Father's Day? No, it's not Father's Day. That's in a couple weeks. You say, well, was it Mother's Day? No, Mother's Day is May, you guys. If you miss Mother's Day, you really got to catch up. June. It's June. Do you know what that means? That in a few weeks, we are celebrating our 21st birthday at The Rock. Woo! Now, we're going to have a party. We're turning 21. And you say, ooh, does that mean we get real wine for communion? No, church. We cannot trust ourselves or anybody else here with real wine. But we are going to have a party. We're going to have a celebration. And we call it our birthday miracle offering. We call it a miracle offering because God does miracles in our lives. He's done miracles in your lives for so many years. And we're going to come to God and celebrate the 21 years that he's had this church stand for the Inland Empire. And we're going to bring an offering to God and give it to him and praise him and celebrate and party. But you know what I say? I say it's the first Sunday in June. And if June is when we celebrate our birthday, then let's just have miracle month. Does anybody want to have miracle month? Let's just have a whole month of getting answers to prayer. And the truth is this, is that we can have miracle years. Every 12 months out of the year, we see God answer prayers. So with that, I want to talk to you guys about something that's helped me stand in faith. Because here's the deal. In order to get miracles, in order to get something from God, in order to get your prayers answered, you've got to stand in faith. You just can't float on in life. You see, you can either be a floater or a fighter. I want to be a fighter. I don't want to just float on. Pastor Deborah said it so well this morning. You can either live saved. Yeah, you get to go to heaven, and heaven's amazing. Or we can live called. Called for a purpose. Called to see salvations. Called to do something, to be a difference, to make a difference. I want to live called. I want to live a faith fighter. And there's something that happened to me in my life, and somebody in my life that really helped me continue in faith. And those times when I wanted to give up. And it was when I was 18 years old, almost a decade ago, when I was 18 years old and I graduated from high school. And I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, except I wanted to help people. I love people so much. So I said, well, God, you know what? I'll be a nurse. I'll heal people. I'll help people. I'll make them feel better. And then I realized that after a few times of getting my blood taken and I fainted each time, I realized, okay, I don't think I can do the nurse thing. And so ministry and God entered into my life, and I got excited about God. And our youth pastor came to me and he said, I want you to be one of the first interns at The Rock. And I said, intern? I don't know what that is, but okay. And so I said, I get to work at the church? Cool. And so I was so excited, and I was just swallowed up in the presence of God every day working in his house. And with internship, I got to go to Bible college. And Bible college really changed me. Actually, it rooted and grounded me, and it prepared me for ministry. It helped me lay those foundations that I needed to know about the Word of God. So I went into Bible college, and you know, it was the first night, and I was excited. I had my Bible. 18 years old, I was sitting on the front seat. I was the youngest student in Bible college. And I was sitting on the front seat, and I was just waiting. And so here comes the class, and it was called Foundations for Pentecostal Theology. Who's been in Bible college and knows that book, right? And so I said, okay, Pentecostal theology. I want to be Pentecostal. I want to know about God. This is awesome. So we had our textbook, and it's a textbook that's like the thickest textbook, okay, and has the most information, and it's very foundational, and it's very needed, and it's still in the Bible college today. And any question you have, it has an answer for it. And so here's the driest, thickest, most informative book. There's no stories. There's no fluff. There's no illustrations. It's just the answers to the questions, the theology part. So in comes a teacher, and he walks in. And this person changed my life, and he doesn't even know it. But in walks in the oldest teacher at the Rock. And his name was Pastor Sherman Smith. And you guys, if you know Pastor Sherm, your heart just warms instantly. And here he comes in, and he's lived a long life. He's still living a long life. But you could tell that he walks slow, and, you know, he had wrinkles of wisdom. And he comes to the pulpit, and he puts down his Bible, and he puts down his book, and he opens up this dry book. Really, a godly book, but very dry. And he opens it up, and tears swell in his eyes. And they fall down his face as he reads from the Pentecostal theology book. And his face is just wet with tears. And he begins to tell us students, and we're sitting on the front row, and we're hanging on every word that he says. And he begins to tell us as he's choking and he's weeping these words out. He begins to say, listen to me, you students. I want to tell you what's going to help you succeed. Is that what you need to do is you need to set your face like a flint. And you need to not give up. And you need to literally grip the horns of the altar of God. And don't let go. And so I sat there, and my eyes began to well up, and I saw the passion in him. And I'm serious, this man of God cried every class. He had us singing hymns. He loved Jesus. And when I saw the passion in his heart, and I saw him gripping his pulpit, and his knuckles were white because he was gripping it so hard, and he was so into it, and I said, God, I want that passion. God, I'm 18 years old, and I don't even know what horns of the altar are, but I will grab them, Lord. You know, and I just wanted it. And I went home and I researched it. And I found out what the horns of the altar were. And if you don't know, then go to Bible college. There's registration right now. But I began to find out that I just want to be at the altar of God. I wanted to be in the presence of God because that's what it represented. And so we come tonight to the altar of God. And we come tonight to get some prayers answered. And we bring it before God. And we grip onto the horns of the altar and say, God, we're not leaving. We're setting our face like a flint. And we are going to be bulldogs holding on to the word that you've given us, God. Because it's miracle month. And we're going to get answers to prayers. So I hope you came ready for some faith to get inside of you tonight. For your faith to be risen up. Because we're gonna go to God. And I'm gonna believe that he's going to answer your prayers tonight. I'm going to believe that he's going to do that. And really, we all need to have that attitude. We all need to want to follow after God with that passion. Let our eyes just well up with tears, just like Pastor David sang that song. Let our eyes just well up with tears, because that's what Christianity is all about. It's about being in love with Jesus and having a passion for Jesus that we don't give up, that we are in church every time the doors are open, that we sit in church and we pray in church and we believe God and we listen to the word and we stand on the seven pillars that God has placed on this church. And Christianity needs to be a faith walk. And we need to come into church and to pray. And with faith, I often imagine it like this. If I can just tell you, this is how my mind works, okay? I often imagine faith like a belt, right? You have a belt on. And faith is kind of like a belt where if you're losing weight, we're all getting ready for the summer, right? We're working out, eating right, doing that sort of thing. And as you lose weight, you begin to go down the little notches on your belt, right? You know, you start off at the first one, and then you lose a few pounds, and then you go to the second one, third one, fourth one. Okay, and you go down, 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 and pretty soon you're at the place after you've worked hard, after you've ate right, and you're at you don't even fit any more of the notches. And you say, you know what? I got to punch a new notch in my belt, right? And that's exciting. That is fun. And that's how I view faith. I feel like God has put situations in my life that make me walk in faith. And as I go over those mountains, and as I pray and I intercede, and as I believe and walk in faith in those, God puts a little faith belt notch right in my belt. And so I can look at my belt when it seems like the mountain's too big, when it seems like the prayer's too large, when it seems like only a miracle is this going to work. And I can look at my belt and say, you know what? God healed that headache. It was small, but you know what? I prayed for God to heal that headache, and you know, it worked. And then I remember as I look at my belt that, you know what? I couldn't pay the bill that month. And the electricity was going to be turned off that next week, but you know what? God provided the money. And you know what? Because God healed that headache, I prayed for my aunt for her cancer. And you know what? I prayed for it to get healed, and boom, they couldn't find it anymore. And your faith gets built up and built up and built up because of the memories of what God has done for you. You've got to remember that. You've got to remember it. The intelligent designer, God himself, designed our bodies, designed our brains in such a way that we remember these things, that we don't forget them. Some of you may be haunted by memories in this place. I want you to know that God has given us a memory for a reason. He's given us a memory to remember the faithfulness that he is. It says in the word to remember his faithfulness, to not forget it, to look at that faith belt, say, oh, this is tough, but God is bigger. But God is stronger. You know who did this was David in the Bible? David, such a mighty man. Turn to 1 Samuel. Turn to 1 Samuel 17:34. And we're talking about David, and you guys know the story of David, but I'm just going to refresh your mind. He was a young boy, and his brothers were out to war, and they were out to war, and they were face to face with the enemy. And then the enemy brought out Goliath, this beast of a man. I mean, this was the original Terminator, okay? This was it. He was the one. You wanted something terminated, they brought out Goliath. He was the champion is what they called him. And he was huge, and he was nasty, and he was just gigantic and scary. And everybody was scared of him, but not David. Not David. David said, how dare he talk about God that way? And he had the guts to say that, so much so that they brought David to Saul. And they said, he's willing to fight him, throw him out there, okay? And so Saul looks at him and says, boy, you can't fight this Goliath. You can't fight this huge issue. You can't fight this big problem. Your prayers aren't going to be heard. It's not going to be answered. That's too big. God doesn't hear that kind of stuff. And so he sees this Goliath and he says, nuh-uh, nuh-uh. And he whips out his faith belt. He says, oh no. And let's listen to his response, what he says. In 1 Samuel 17, verse number 34, he says, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck it and I killed it. And he said, your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Ooh, David didn't need convincing. Saul needed convincing, not David. David said, no, I know. I know my God. So whatever situation you're in tonight, whatever your prayer list is tonight, I want you to know something. It may be bad, big, and ugly, just like Goliath, but you know what? Look at your faith belt. Look at what God's done for you. Look at the holes and the notches. Whatever situation you're in, know that it's just something that God's going to say, this is a memory, honey. This is a memory, baby. This is a memory, my son of God, that's going to get you over the next mountain. And yeah, you're walking through the valley, but you're going to remember it. And I'm going to take you out of the valley and I'm going to put you on a mountaintop. And you're going to dance and celebrate. It's going to be a miracle. It's going to be good. We need to live running after miracles. We need to live for those times, those trying times that cause a hole in our belt. That make us step out in faith. Christianity needs to be risky. Sometimes we play it so safe. We say, well, isn't it good enough that I just come and sit in the seat and I'm here tonight, Pastor Michelle? I come to church once a week, twice a week. Isn't that good enough? But are you living in faith? Are you being a risky Christian? Are you really seeing how big God is? Because if you want to show me in the Bible where it says to play it safe, I'd love to see that verse because I can't find it. In fact, you know what my Bible shows me? It shows me a man who rescued an entire nation and took him to the edge of a sea with people ready to kill them. And you know what his only answer was? Was to split that sea in half and take thousands across dry land. That's risky. You know what else I see is I see stories of a prophet who had no food and he was running from the enemy and hiding. And you know what? God fed him through birds, through ravens. That's risky. You know what I see is Jesus Christ walking this earth and telling his disciples, quit your jobs and follow me. That's risky. I see the disciples standing before a group of 5,000 plus, and Jesus says, feed them. And they say, what? You ever had your boss tell you to do something ridiculous? You want me to do what with what budget? Imagine the disciples. You want me to feed 5,000 with a couple of fish and some loaves of bread? But they did it, and that was risky. It was risky, but you know what? That's what Christianity's about. Let us live on risk. See, here, well, let me just tell you this. There's a difference between risky and foolish. We don't need to act foolish. We need to make a plan, work a plan. We need to, you know, count the cost and do that stuff. Take it before God for prayer and do that. But we need to live risky. We need to have dreams in our heart that keep us awake at night. Let those dreams in our heart draw us to our knees. Let those dreams of your father being saved or you beginning to serve in a ministry. You guys, there's ministries at this church that haven't been started because you haven't dreamed them up yet. Dream for us. Dream for God. There are church plants going to happen. We say the Inland Empire shall be saved, but they can't fit in these walls. We need church plants. We need satellite churches, and we need dreamers to fill those up and to serve in those. Dream for us. See, here's the deal. If you find yourself in a situation that seems risky, that makes your heart beat faster, that when you put your pillow on the head at night that you can't fall asleep, when you're kind of in the place between worry, but you're also in this amazing presence of peace that you can't even explain, when you find yourself there because you've dreamed so big, because you've come to God with this prayer, then let me tell you this, is that now you've entered mountain moving, kingdom expanding, devil pushing, soul winning, radical, yes church, I said radical, miracle believing Christianity. And I want to be there. Ooh, I want to be there to where, just like Pastor Sherm, grip that pulpit. And I want to grip this altar. And I want to say, ooh, God, I'm not letting go. I'm setting my face like a flint. And I want, when I get older, I want my wrinkled face to be wet with tears because of the love of Jesus Christ. And I want to inspire others. So tonight, are you ready to pray? Are we ready to go before the throne? I know I am.